Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. It's campaign season, and there's been no shortage of coverage about the opinions of each presidential hopeful. But the candidates have been mostly quiet about agricultural issues. With the Iowa caucuses approaching, will they start tackling the issues important to the Midwest? Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson investigates.
Farmers and those in the agriculture industry pay close attention to candidates' positions on ag policy. EPA regulations, Labor Department rules, and the shape of the Farm Bill subsidies can greatly impact their business. And while there's been some limited discussion about ethanol, many candidates this year haven't said much at all about agriculture issues. Political analyst Dennis Goldford of Drake University says that's partly because there are more pressing issues.
I think the candidates have major concerns with regard to the situation of the country as a whole in terms of the housing bubble and the job situation. So the problem is much broader than a particular sectoral problem like agriculture.
Not only that, but the agriculture industry is doing pretty well nowadays. Farmers are seeing high commodity prices, record grain exports, and rising farmland values.
To a great extent, whatever economic difficulties we have are certainly not like what we had in Iowa in the mid-1980s. That was a real farm crisis. And we just saw the other day an acre of land go for $20,000. Maybe that's a bubble, maybe not. That's not my expertise. But times are pretty good.
But just a few years ago, candidates couldn't come through Iowa without praising corn-based ethanol. Here's President George W. Bush in 2000.
I support ethanol, and I support ethanol strongly, John. And I support ethanol whether I was here in Iowa or not. And the reason I do...
President Barack Obama swept the Iowa caucuses in 2008.
I'll be a president who harnesses the ingenuity of farmers and scientists and entrepreneurs to free this nation from the tyranny of oil once and for all.
Republican candidate John McCain, on the other hand.
I trust Americans, I trust markets, and I oppose subsidies. Yes, that means no ethanol subsidies, but it also means no rifle shot tax breaks for big oil.
McCain didn't win Iowa, though winning the first caucus didn't help Mike Huckabee much. But nowadays, ethanol doesn't come up nearly as much, even though some federal supports are set to expire shortly. In fact, some candidates are even willing to go against ethanol, like Rick Perry did in a recent Iowa forum last month.
I happen to believe the federal government needs to be completely out of the energy business, picking winners and losers. And whether you're in the oil and gas business and the tax credits that they get, whether you're in the ethanol business and the renewable fuel standard, or whether you're in the wind side.
Just because candidates aren't talking other ag issues doesn't mean Midwestern farmers don't have concerns about national policies. Farmer Mark Jacobson of the Iowa Soybean Association says Iowa's position as the first caucus state usually allows farmers to draw the candidates and the nation's attention to key agriculture issues.
I mean, agriculture is approximately 25% of the economy in Iowa. Half of my crops that I grow when it comes to soybeans are exported around the world. So these are critical issues that we have to make sure that they understand, because the complexity of agriculture today is not my grandfather's agriculture.
Jacobson says farmers are concerned about free trade agreements, and the new Department of Labor ruling severely limits what tasks children can do on a farm. And they're paying attention to immigration policy because for many that's their labor pool. With the next farm bill coming up in a year, farmers are also pushing hard for continued federal support of their safety net, crop insurance. And some farmers also bring up the estate tax because of general concern of passing on the family farm to their children. And though views vary, ethanol is an ever-present issue. According to the Iowa Corn Growers Report card, the only candidate who really flunks on agriculture issues is Michelle Bachmann. Well, they gave her a D+, and it's mostly for her views on ethanol and an issue dear to farmers' hearts, bolstering their crop insurance safety net. Ron Paul also got a D overall for similar reasons. He doesn't believe in the government supporting most businesses, including the ag industry.
The marketplace should decide whether or not to use ethanol, and producers of ethanol have to discover if they can produce it at a price that makes good business sense.
Newt Gingrich was the first candidate to participate in a town hall forum phone call organized by the Iowa Soybean Association. Several farmers who listened in said they were impressed with his attitude and approach, even though there were some agriculture issues he admitted he didn't know much about. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who some analysts say is the only viable national candidate so far, hadn't really focused on Iowa until recent months, and he still hasn't said much on agriculture. The idea that Romney could not win Iowa and could still win the Republican nomination concerns some. because it would mean Iowa's becoming less important. Iowa farmer Scott McGregor says it would have big ramifications for the industry's ability to make connections and get some visibility in D.C.
It's the one time in every 4 years or whenever we have a caucus that Iowa can get some of its agricultural issues to the forefront.
So even though most Iowa farm groups don't endorse a candidate, they work hard to get exposure with each of the presidential hopefuls. As McGregor says, that's their chance to explain to them the complexities of agriculture and hope they'll remember the sector when in the White House. I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening to Under the Microscope. Environmental groups rallied in both St. Louis and Columbia this week to urge the National Park Service to do more to protect the Ozark National Scenic Waterways. The coalition submitted petitions with nearly 5,000 signatures to the Park Service. The petitions ask the agency to end illegal vehicle traffic and overdevelopment along the current river and its major tributary, the Jack's Fork. Speaking at a press conference in St. Louis, Kelly Higgins, of an advocacy group called Friends of the Ozark Riverways, said that the Park Service hasn't done enough to protect these popular rivers.
We want a strong general management plan, and we want a strong new superintendent, because quite frankly, a general management plan is only as good as a superintendent who will enforce it and enforce it consistently.
But Republican Congresswoman Joanne Emerson says there has to be a balance. Emerson represents Missouri's 8th District, which includes the Ozarks. She says people in her district have been making their living off of river tourism for generations.
I really am quite resentful of people who would like to, you know, close all of this area off to wilderness, for example, so that people can come in and enjoy it, but yet nobody could make a living off the land. I don't think that that's appropriate.
The National Park Service has been working on an updated management plan for the Ozark National Scenic Waterways for several years. In 2009, it released several proposals to the public, which did include shutting down illegal roadways, enforcing building easements, and limiting environmentally damaging activities like canoeing or motorboat use. The Park Service has been revising the draft plan based on feedback it gathered about those proposals, and is expected to release a final version of its management plan in the spring of 2012. That's Another Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks so much for listening. You can find these stories and many more on KBIA.org.